All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. I'm Keith. I'm here, as always, with John and Chuck. Fellas, how are we doing?
Poorly.
Yeah, you don't look so well, John.
Poker night last night.
Okay, did you win?
I did.
So it's worth it?
I mean, it was worth it, but now I can't, like, feel my extremities, and my brain feels like a whale inside of it.
A beluga, or...
Something large.
Whale shark?
Was it a sperm whale?
I have the Moby Dick of hangovers.
Oh.
The Great White Hangover?
Indeed. My underbelly is bloated. Help me.
You need to cut that open and release the gas?
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Well, so have you had any breakfast to counteract the poker night?
Nothing but cold filtered Coors Light this morning.
That was actually a V8. For those, Chuck, how are you doing? You look much better than John does.
Oh yeah, I feel better. You know, it's been a wonderful day.
Chuck's hungover every day.
Yeah, I just live that way, so it doesn't. At least I know why I wake up feeling like crap in the morning.
Yeah,
not wondering.
You didn't think it was life decisions?
Is that gluten? No, I had a bunch of booze.
Nice. Did you have a breakfast of a, say, a regular Joe as opposed to the alcoholic breakfast?
I made a fantastic scrambled egg breakfast. I like to scramble my eggs, use a little whipped cream, maybe some creme fraiche if I have it.
Oh,
hey,
now.
Really, it's about the cooking process, introducing enough heat to ensure proper scrambling, but not overcooking and drying them out. And then you really want to stop the cooking with the cool creme fraiche.
So it sounds like you spend more time preparing your eggs than, like, say, the Pelicans do in preparing their roster.
Ooh, easy.
I thought you were a Tony Soprano man. A little cream cheese.
A little cream cheese. I know I did. I would put cream cheese. Cream cheese does taste good in there. But
speaking of Pelicans building their roster, Dante Cunningham is coming back into the league.
How can this be happening?
Once your domestic violence charges are dropped... Apparently, you're a hot commodity.
People love it.
And that team is looking for another, whatever he is, a big three?
I'm pretty
sure.
Small
four?
All the Pelicans care about is, can you jump really high?
He can jump really high, and he can hit a 12-footer 44% of the time?
Around
there. For breakfast today, I had chicken fettuccine Alfredo.
Say what?
It was like 11, and I just heated some up before I ran out. So it's one of those nice, you know, you're had the baby, so someone brought it over, the nice casserole type thing.
Nice.
So very, very appreciative. But it's working. It filled me up.
So when you have a baby, or if someone in your family dies, you get a lot of food.
Oh, it's yeah. True. They start just bringing it over in U-Haul trucks.
One is a literal death, and the other is the death of your social life.
I have a social life. I don't know what you're talking about, but my marriage is also in shambles.
So, I mean, but once the NBA season starts, I don't need a social life. I like having the built-in baby excuse for why I can't leave the house, so I can just watch basketball all night.
Sorry, you got to watch 7 hours of basketball.
It's pretty good.
Sorry, buddy.
I honestly wish they'd stretch it out more. Mm-hmm. All these that 7 to 8 central hour. When there's like
five
10 games,
on.
Well, yeah. like you can't follow all those. It's impossible.
You're right. Gonna see so many early starting Hawks games.
I missed the screwed up tip for the
for the Timberwolves.
The Wolves Sixers game.
That was appointment viewing.
Good Lord.
Anyway, so that's kind of where we're all at. We're apparently all in a slightly different headspaces this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But now we always start our show after our breakfast announcements with a little thing we call our breakfast in bed apologies. This is a time for us to reflect on our previous episode and maybe make amends with someone or something that we spoke ill of. I'll go first. My apology goes to the Sixers' very own Michael Carter Williams, who I suggested last week I wouldn't even trade Banu Udre and Nick Calathes for. And honestly, I'm not sure I still would.
Yeah, this is not a real apology.
John can see into my heart, and he knows I don't mean it. But since talking really, really badly about him last week, he did at the very least average 20 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists over the last week. And it's about winning games, and they won a game. So to Mr. Michael Carter Williams, best of luck. Keep putting up them numbers.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Well, mine is a full-assed apology.
Appreciate it.
I made the horrific error of thinking that perhaps Carmelo Anthony might be shut down or ineffective because of injury, and he has scored like 30, 27, 31 points. Like, mere moments after we concluded the podcast last week, so...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well,
but they're also not really winning.
No, he scored half their points in one game.
Yeah.
When you only score, you know, 67 points as a team, maybe you should shut it down, Carmelo.
It's probably a good look. He's regretting not signing with Chicago.
Yeah, he pretty much said that this week. He announced that he's like, Chicago would have been a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Yeah, quarter way through the season. Hey, guys.
Well, the opera wasn't as good in Chicago as it was in New York.
It's true.
Right.
He's a cultured man.
He went pow-pow style.
It goes New York, then Chicago, then somewhere down the list.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Oklahoma City. Yeah. Birmingham might actually be ahead of Oklahoma City for the arts.
Believe so.
I don't think we have any Oklahoma City. We trash them every week.
Yeah, they deserve it. They're a terrible franchise that stole a storied, wonderful team from a great basketball city to put in a state where no one cares about basketball.
It's true.
So, and I know they sell out their games and everything, but there is nothing to do in Oklahoma City.
But hey, Durant broke back.
Yeah, that's great. My favorite Battletoad playing ball again. But,
that's right.
Yeah, I guess I have an apology. I would like to apologize to the 76ers who managed to increase their winning percentage. I 1,000%. I don't even know.
Managed to avoid making history.
Is
right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very sad that we can't ever call them the Owens. Well, we can. Maybe we can get them. They can only win 6 games, and they'll be called the 6 and 76ers.
Oh, that's good. That's something. That's something to shoot for.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. So if we can just the beauty and the symmetry of that. Would lead me to just being a very happy man.
It was a sad... Network tweeted yesterday that the Timberwolves let down a nation. And I feel that way. I feel we were all looking for like a big... Like a 0-50 or something. We really wanted to see something spectacular.
Do we know who reffed that game?
I don't.
Was there a Bennett Salvatore present?
Might have been a Joey Crawford on the court.
It could have been. All right. So now for... what's your steak and eggs? Those were our apologies. And now for what's the thing you saw this week that you liked? What's your steak and eggs best thing?
Well, if you Google Gerald Green and you scroll down past Gerald Green net worth, Gerald Green wife, or Gerald Green girlfriend, which is apparently what pops up for any celebrity that you ever put in, which is terrifying and indicative of the fall of culture.
Except for like Ray Rice or something.
You will find that... He stole the Rooster's thunder and whipped down an off the backboard in traffic half court offense dunk.
It was good
to himself.
I haven't watched it in slow mo. I'm not convinced the footwork was correct. It looked like he might have taken a few steps before the pass that maybe so it wasn't as honest.
But it was no Danilo Gallinari,
but it was good. Or James Johnson on neck tattoo night last year.
Oh yes,
that was a good off the back. That's how you step up when it's your time. Chuck, you got a best thing?
Yeah, my best thing are the it goes to the security guards at Madison Square Garden for kicking out a handicapped individual with a prosthetic leg and left the leg behind.
And there's
when they pulled him out. So apparently this guy
awkward.
Yeah, apparently what a lot of people don't know if you don't have all your limbs, you get drunk way easier. Mm-hmm. Because you just have less body weight.
Yep.
That's
why they call it amputee drunk.
Yeah. There's actually a term on Urban Dictionary called amputee drunk. And apparently he had one too many Brooklyn ales.
One not enough limbs.
Brooklyn ale house.
The Brooklyn lagers.
Lagers from the,
And apparently he's, from the stories I read, he's a well-known Nets fan, or he's a guy who at Nets games... Maybe the camera's always on him,
right?
You know, like the timeouts.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that shakes his prosthetic leg around over his head,
flaunt it
like a helicopter, a la Petey Pablo, and decides to. But yeah, they kicked him out and they didn't even let him keep his
they
leg.
They also said he's not welcome to come back ever again to Madison Square Garden.
That's amazing.
I mean, could he go to can he go see Justin Timberlake at the Garden?
I don't know.
No WWE wrestling for him.
No, that's tough.
Man.
He'll never see Bruno Sammartino regain the strap.
We are trying to get him on the show.
We're efforting.
We're good. Our production team is making calls.
We think we can track him down.
I think next week we may have him on the show.
The world's a small place now. You can find people.
Hopefully his voice won't sound too much like one of our voices.
My steak and eggs best thing is a certain Kyle Korver of the Atlanta Hawks. He's been great. Yes. Not only did the Hawks have a really good week, and despite the fact that Evan Turner said he couldn't play defense to save his life, it's not like anyone, you know, lauds Evan Turner for his
hot kettle black.
Yeah, his defensive prowess. But Kyle Korver, while this week he had a game where I think he scored 24 points on 9 shots, and that was just with 2 free throws. That's some efficiency. But he's first in the league in three-point percentage, 57% threes. He's also first in the league free throw percentage. That is some great shooting.
He also first in true shooting percentage.
There you are.
Over luminaries such as Brandon Wright and Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, and he's not getting dunks like right. Tyson Chandler and Brandon Wright are just dunking. So,
in a super efficient offense.
Kyle Korver has been amazing. He's been lights out. And he's also a guy where you think a lot of these numbers are small sample size, but there's a good chance he does finish the year, you know, at 50% three-pointers and probably over 90%. That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, there are, I don't want to throw anything on that, but I think there's four players above 50% right now shooting three in the league. I think Kyle Korver is a very interesting player because he's in his, he's 34, 35. He's not a young guy.
That feels high, but
yeah, he's not. He's in his 30s. I know for sure.
Okay,
because he's been in the league for a while. He was with Utah for a while.
I remember him at Creighton.
The
beginning of the Creighton dynasty.
And he's almost like he's evolved. His game has. He's really gotten better the older he's gotten.
I think it's a guy when coming into the league, you were like, that guy will be a specialist, a shooter. He'll play 20 minutes a game or less. But now it is interesting that he's a starter on a pretty good team. They look to be one of the better teams in the East. And it's like he plays full starter minutes. He's out there all the time. Whatever defensive limitations he has, they hide it. And he's competent enough to stay in the court. And he's so lethal offensively that, yeah.
I love impressive. His game. He's extremely active without the ball. He's not a guy who just goes and sits in the corner. He runs off of screens. I think he's actually a better defender than people give him credit for. And I think the numbers actually bear that out if you actually go look at it. He just doesn't look that athletic, but he's got long limbs and he gets to his guy. I think, if you weren't going to choose Kyle Korver, another guy who's very statistically similar this year in three-point percentage, true shooting percentage, and number of Grantland articles now written about him would be Courtney Lee.
Mm. Yeah.
Another guy who's having a very similar year to Korver.
It's true.
But it's a shooter's year this time. Yeah, and there are four guys. And that's there'd be five if you count Tony Parker.
Tony Parker's like two of his 67%. Three. Yeah.
But, so far the shooting is there around the league. We're seeing some shooters make some hay this year.
Where do
we
think this kind of trajectory goes? Because we saw in the 70s, basically a three-point shot. No, not existing.
I think we're...
Now where we're looking at.
I don't want to limit the human species and our potential for growth, but I think we're actually approaching the upper limits of what,
shooting percentages
as far as, because they've gotten so specific on the ways they practice shooting, the ways they run off stuff.
I have your solution.
But what is it?
Install the 25 foot high Rock and Jock 25 foot point basket.
It's beautiful.
That the likes of Dan Cortez and Flea.
Yes.
Have
yes.
made shots on swinging the outcome of legendary games.
Yeah, that's true. I mean that you're joking, but I would like to see some sort of maybe a 4-point shot from
this guy. This guy's a 25-point specialist.
Yeah, yeah. You bring him in only for that.
And end of the game. You got your 25-point lineup,
right? But I don't know. I just because we have like a lot of statistics in baseball, and we know that a certain batting average is. considered good regardless. You know, Mendoza line. Yeah. So we I don't know where where that's going to equal out, because we've seen an evolution of the game that's leading to, you know, somebody averaging 45% from downtown while taking as many threes last year as
like a Steph Curry.
I can't believe I just called it downtown.
No.
Where's downtown?
So, but yeah, like a guy like Korver, he, you know, to shoot that, that, you know, 2002 would have been,
you know, you're over the Jameer Nelson line,
I guess. The Nelson 37.6% career.
That guy's a good shooter. He's above the Jameer line.
It is.
Yep. All right. So now, what's the flip side? Your cream of wheat, worst of week.
I mean, my heart wants me to say Mark Gasol, Mark DeShark injury, but I'm going to give it to, did anyone see Kirk Heinrich's foul?
Oh,
that's a good one.
Holy moly.
That's a, it's not often, you know, a lot of plays decide a game, but it's not often you get one specific thing that did, like, oh, you took a victory away.
Yeah.
Quoth the Dirk, one of the dumber fouls he's ever seen.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad that he apologized.
So the, yeah, I guess if you haven't seen the highlight, the Bulls were up by three on the Mavericks. They had a foul to give. They thought they could take it in the backcourt, but there's only like 3 seconds left. Kirk did not, Captain Kirk did not take the foul in the backcourt. He let Montelis get close, you know, 28 feet away, and then raised to shoot. Then Kirk bear hugged him, and that's a 3-shot foul, and then they lost in overtime. So
I know, Chuck, do you like Kirk Heinrich?
I love Captain Kirk.
I like him.
I think Kirk Heinrich is terrible.
Oh, so disagree.
This I think it's slowly bearing out, and I'll be revealed to be correct about this. When he is on the court, they are so markedly worse. I thought DJ Augustin was an improvement over him last year.
Well, he was offensively. Yeah. He's limited off the dribble. He doesn't kind of really fit into that role.
And now we know he's stupid.
Yeah, well, that was a mental lapse. He's usually pretty...
He has the reputation of being a heady
guy.
He's a coach's son. He knows what to do in all situations, except for the most important and crucial ones.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the regular season game. But I've seen him in playoff games play very well, do the right things, being physical with LeBron when he needed to be. He was one of the few guys I ever watched who really wasn't afraid physically.
I mean, he's such a competitor. He's the type of guy that he's the type of guy I would always be happy to have on my, you know, fictional fantasy team.
You guys just like his Rex picks.
I like his rec specs.
That's a good look.
And I think he's old. He's in his league for 12 years.
Yeah.
It's like he's one of those guys where when I watch some Bulls games.
So he should know better.
He should, again, where it's the worst thing and no one's arguing.
It was a bad play.
Chuck and I are saying we like the guy. We think he helps. I think he helps the team win.
In a week where the 76ers finally won, and there's so many terrible things to talk about. They started the game from the wrong, shooting at the wrong baskets.
You don't get two worsts.
I think Heinrich is still the worst. Okay.
That's good.
My worst of the week is Kevin Garnett trying to bite Joakim Noah's hand.
That was some Luis Suarez nonsense.
Yeah. Games.
Shout out to Mike Tyson. That's actually what Kevin Garnett said. After the post game, he's like, if I wanted to bite Noah, I would have bit him. Shout out to Mike Tyson.
I think Kevin Garnett was just doing one of those get myself fired up things.
Yeah.
Apparently, Joakim didn't even see it. He didn't even notice that a man just took a fake bite.
Yeah.
I mean, an actual bite, but he's swinging
like
a miss.
Faux bite.
Yeah. Bonus KG content. If you have the time, watch Brian Scalabrine's Kevin Garnett beats Glenn Big Baby Davis in arm wrestling on a plane that he busted out on NBA TV this week, because it is unbelievable and so Kevin Garnett.
I haven't seen it. I look forward to watching it.
He basically somehow defeats Big Baby Davis, who's a renowned arm wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, he's a large man.
Yes, he is.
And then screams, and this is a crowded plane full of people, screams, I am the alpha male. I am the alpha dog. No one can touch me. Spitting everywhere.
That sounds awesome. That's the Kevin Garnett I've known and loved.
Certified.
Yeah. I think last night was a little sad. That Spurs-Nets game. It may be one of the last times we see Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan playing against each other, which is a big, you know.
They've been around for a long time.
Big generational thing if you've been watching basketball for the past 20 years.
I will be happy to see them go.
Both of them?
No. Why? Just a dislike of a...
Tim Duncan is unstoppable, and I'm tired of his giant Easter Island visage. And then Kevin Garnett is probably my second least favorite player ever. So
I've always loved
adios.
Him. Always loved him.
Who's your number one?
Least favorite player ever?
Yeah.
Paul Pierce.
Okay. What about you, Johnny? Is your least favorite player ever?
You're looking at me.
Yeah. So I'm sorry, Keith.
Yeah. I'd have to think about it. I feel like I reserve most of my my bile for my own, like, I cheer for the Grizzlies, and so then certain Grizzlies get under my skin. I'm trying to think of opponents who I've always hated.
Blake Griffin?
I mean, I don't hate him.
Chris Paul?
Nah, I like Chris Paul.
How can you like
Chris Paul? I'll have to come back to it.
I got two.
Harold
Miner? Number one's Allen Houston.
Oh, come on! That's a Vol.
I don't care.
No one likes the Vols.
He's the worst.
Hey, now.
He played like crap against everyone except the Miami Heat for the history of his career. Like, he was, I think, 10 points per game better.
That mofo got paid again for those Heat games, too.
That was the only thing they paid him for. But yeah, it's Allen Houston, number one, and Jason Terry, number two. I hate Jason Terry.
The Jet?
He is despicable.
Well, he got a lumpy head.
He just got a lumpy
head. I really hated Vince Carter for a long time because of his quitting, the Raptors quitting year. It really bugged me.
And now you hate him because he's terrible on the Grizzlies.
Now I hate him because he's damaged goods on the Grizzlies.
You're going to love him. At one point, you guys are going to be so happy Vince Carter's on
this
your
actually,
team.
Hey, this actually ties into my worst of the week, my cream of wheat worst of the week. Is one a large thing that happens in the NBA. My worst of the week is players not shooting half-court shots at the end of quarters and just dribbling the quarter out.
Ah, because they're wanting to protect their precious percentages.
The only reason, because scoring is good. If you get the ball, why wouldn't you throw it at the basket? You have a free opportunity to score points, but ostensibly they're protecting their shooting percentages. Last night, at the end of the first quarter in the Rockets-Grizzlies game, the ball was inbounded to Vince Carter with 2.5 seconds left. You can take two dribbles. You can pass it into the front court. Like, I don't know why in the first three quarters you wouldn't shoot at the goal. So I have that's my worst thing that I hate. I have a solution, I think.
Okay.
I don't know.
25-foot rock and jock basket?
Well, that's one. You guys tell me what's wrong with this idea. I'm thinking a rule change for statistics. Any shot from behind half court, if the buzzer sounds while the ball's in the air, it doesn't count as a shot attempt unless it goes in.
That's just crazy enough that it might work.
It's a free roll.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like these guys, because and then there's the guys, and this happens a lot too, where I think the players realize that it's obvious that they're not shooting. You know, because of their shooting percentages. So they take one extra dribble on purpose. Mm-hmm. So they know the shot's after the buzzer. And they're like, oh, I shot it. It was too late. Like, that really bothers
me.
Yeah.
Like, they want the novelty of making a three-quarter court shot.
Right.
And you know these guys practice that stuff all the time.
They goof around. Some guys only do, like,
right. Kevin Love.
LeBron James only does that in warm, like, all his only warm-up is pretty much shooting half-court shots. Right. Like, I don't know why these guys wouldn't shoot it all the time. Some guys, like, Tony Roden, I believe, has three to his name, like, in his young career. That man will chuck it up.
R.I.P. Tony Roden.
R.I.P. But, so, I think, I don't know what the negative drawback would be other than perhaps a Nick Young type ball hogging the last two, like running and stealing the ball from his teammate so he could get the free look.
Right, right.
Yeah, this is a slippery slope, Keith.
But I think, again,
Kobe will find out a way.
You'll get more highlights because right now I feel like there's multiple quarters in every game where the team chooses not to shoot.
Right. These
guys are going to hit half court.
You're
shots.
Almost incentivizing that shot. You want that shot to occur.
I mean, I guess there could be a problem of players running to the half court and stopping.
Right.
There had to be some way to work it out. But still, I feel like there's just a stat recording measure we could take where we could get full court shots at the buzzer beaters.
No, so, that makes sense. That makes sense. I would love to see that. That's actually
pretty
innovative.
You gotta love Steph Curry. Because Steph Curry will chuck that sucker from anywhere.
Yeah,
because
he doesn't.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys that are really good at it, but I hate the fact that there's a hesitancy, and it has to be because of shooting percentages.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like we should find a way to not punish them for attempting to score, which they
follow
should.
Follow the money, Keith.
Right. Follow just like an money. Offensive foul shouldn't be a turnover and a foul. You know, that's just double the... Should be one or the other.
No, I disagree.
Should be a turnover or a foul. But you can't, you know...
It's both. It has to be a turnover.
Well,
it's by definition a turnover.
Okay,
let's move on.
All right. So those are our worst of weeks. Our cream of wheat, because nothing's worse than that. All right, now for our Waffle House scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. What happened this week, guys? What do we need to talk about?
Last night was a catastrophically terrible performance by the young Timberwolves.
Yeah. It's true. And so, yeah, we're recording this on Thursday, so you'll probably hear this on Friday. But yes, so Wednesday night, one of the worst, but honestly, it was so hilariously, sublimely bad that it was awesome.
I watched the replay this morning. Claude, have mercy. That game from the jump. From jump street.
From the jump where they went the wrong way.
Yeah.
16 seconds that didn't exist.
I think the first half the Sixers were 18 of 52 from the field.
And they won.
The announcers were spot on.
Did you guys notice that Brett Brown seemed kind of sad that they won?
Yeah.
Brett Brown has been saying some great things.
I think he lost. Week. I think he lost a bonus. By right. not
by winning, yeah.
yeah. Like he gets bonuses yeah, yeah. in the way that, like on NBA 2K, you get a bonus for winning.
You lost 10 games in a row.
Here's a star. You get a Michael Jordan player's card.
Yeah. So that game, what is it? 30. It was like 34 all at halftime. Well, with a couple minutes to go in the third, and again, the announcers are saying stuff like, "Well, I can't lie to you folks. This is not good basketball." Yeah. Or, you know, like this.
Here's some stats. Philly shot 39% from the floor, 20% from the field, from three-point range, 17% from Minnesota for three-point range.
Good Lord.
Also, down the stretch, when the young Sixers, the 6 and 76ers, were pulling out to lead, when the likes of Robert Covington was hitting an icing three-pointer.
I think Covington had like 17.
They still kept it alive because Michael Carter-Williams and none of the other of his teammates can hit foul shots.
Nope.
So they kept fouling him and he kept
62% from foul line that game.
Is that on the I think their season mark is like 68 or 69. Something, it's somewhere around there. Like
that's that. A Tony Roten effect right there.
So it did happen. The Timberwolves, I feel like it was almost set up to play the Timberwolves in that game 18 because we knew it would be well matched. And I tell you, one of the things about them starting going the wrong directions and having to restart the game, that's also, you have so many young guys and so many guys who don't even, it's like a church league game where like the refs are like, whoa, which guy, what do you get? Everyone's pointing you which right way to go.
No, that's bad officiating because agreed. That's, pretty sure backcourt violation. If you're supposed to go in that other direction and you cross the court with the ball, that's a backcourt violation.
Well, I just like it. Well, I just like it that you have to start the whole thing over. They're yeah, like, that's all messed
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah, and but
that was an accursed game.
It was. That was the omen. That was the black crow game, flying.
It had
over.
The mark of the beast.
It did.
You go ahead and on Grantland today. The triangle. They actually have a lot of the quotes of the announcers like throughout the game. So check that out. That's
there is a shining star in the dark morass that is the 76ers squad, and that's KJ McDaniel.
Free agent to be KJ McDaniel.
Yeah,
he's
a lot of fun to watch.
He's incredibly fun to watch. I think I wonder if it's going to be a new precedent because he's a second round draft pick who turned down the guaranteed 2 years with a player option or a team option in the third year. He was like, I have confidence in myself. I want a one-year contract. This guy is going to get paid in year two, which is a really rare thing for NBA players.
It was ballsy, and I'm surprised that the Sixers are even playing him as a result.
Mm. That is one of the big questions because it looked like for a while there that they weren't playing him that much.
Right.
But then it's like with Tony Roten getting hurt, RIP.
Now he's playing over 30 minutes a game.
He's playing and he's exciting. And you know, every team and every team's fans are out there being like, you know, like, oh, I hope next year, like maybe we can get, KJ McDaniel on our team. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to be a free agent. So everyone has hopes of signing this guy because he's so young.
Can the Grizzlies trade Vince Carter for him right now?
I would actually work out for the Sixers.
It has to be after December 13th.
Son of a beasting.
No, but I'm excited. I think my Grizzly hopes for next year are using that cap space, maybe getting to Wesley Matthews and KJ McDaniel. Stop it.
So
Wesley Matthews had a Stackhouse-esque performance this week.
Although he had a big week. I don't know where he had three straight games of hitting six threes, and then he went a solid 1-for-10 from downtown last night. But he's had a big week shooting.
We call that regression toward the mean.
That is
what
we
was
call
your
it.
Did you see the Rondo-est stat line of all time?
Yes, I did.
Where he was 1 of 8 for 2 points, 19 assists, and 12 rebounds. That's the Rondoist thing I've ever heard.
Don't forget that only like 6 of those assists were probably meaningful.
Although they did, that was in an overtime win. So yeah, you never know how much he kept that close.
Another one of my least favorite players. That Celtics team was truly a nightmare for me.
It must have been. Did Ray Allen make you angry then?
Yes.
I love Ray Allen.
Jesus Shuttlesworth made me angry.
Oh Jesus.
I was rooting for his dad in that game. I always root for Denzel, though.
I got some news. I found, you guys know, we talk about how Nick Calathes was discovered because they opened up Costa Kufos. And nesting inside was
the babushka
style
babushka.
With Nick Calathes. There is another babushka pair in the NBA.
Oh yes,
they're on the Utah Jazz.
What have we here?
If you break open Rudy Gobert,
you get Dante.
There's Exum. A Dante Exum inside. Like, how exciting is this? So yeah,
Enes Kanter might be the guy in the middle there too.
He might be.
Yeah, I don't know what you'd get it.
Who's taller, Enes or Rudy?
Gobert's Gobert.
He's like 7'2".
He's crazy. He's got that stance with the 9'5" standing reach or something. He can touch the rim. I can't remember. He is so tall.
I really thought he'd do better after that world's performance.
Gobert? Yeah. Gobert's playing great. Gobert is the backup center. You can do worse.
I was pretty sure he was going to be a shoo-in for the MVP, though. After that world's performance.
Yeah, he was giving me Rudy Gobert updates all tournament.
Really? I watched so much Rudy Gobert. I was like, man, this is starting five.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's been a great year for the crazy lanky player. I mean, if you count a Brandon Wright in that.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, did you read what that 3-point line Euro step is called that Giannis does now?
No, what is it?
It's called the Euro step.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
I didn't write that. I found that on the internet.
I think that's another Grant Landis.
It might be, yeah. I am so mad that I didn't think of that. I'm so mad.
Do you pronounce it a gyro?
Gyro step.
Gyro?
It's so good.
Just give me my beef lamb.
We did, John, you predicted last week that the Bucks would struggle this week. They did. They lost, but they honestly played pretty well. They were close in a lot of their games.
They're beset by injury right now as well.
Yeah, they're struggling.
I almost apologized to Jabari Parker, but then I saw that he scores all of his points from mid-range, threw up in my mouth, and refused to apologize to him.
Yeah, and there was some confusion in Wednesday night's game that he didn't play very much, and neither did Greek Freak. Antetokounmpo did not get in the game in that close loss to the Mavs. And we should also talk about the Mavericks were playing well, and Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis was 60 shots in the last two games.
Are they playing well, or do they? Here's the thing, and I hate to try to be all perspective and stuff, but it seems like we tend to beat a drum of teams, West Coast teams playing well or Western Conference teams playing well whenever they go through it. Like
the Eastern Coast.
They've been really playing great basketball.
Can I tell you something, Chuck? The top 8 teams in the West going into last night had a 35-game winning streak. No one can beat these people.
The Mavs are playing really well, and they're in a kind of an interesting transitional period because they sat Dirk against the Bucks.
Yep.
And I think they did it on purpose because I think that they knew that Dirk was not going to be able to guard anyone on that weird Bucks roster.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I think they just looked at it and said, all right, here's your rest night since you are going to be a terrible liability anyway.
Yeah, who is he going to cover?
That's almost a conspiracy.
Uh-oh. Is it? But I don't think it's as good as the one Chuck has for us this week. Do you even have one this week?
I don't have a conspiracy this week.
Chuck!
Well,
we had a short week because we recorded after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I guess.
Although so. I do have a question though, Chuck. If I don't know if it's a full blown conspiracy, but Joey Crawford made the news this week. He had one of his special Joey Crawford dance moments. Uh-huh. You know, where he skips out like 30 feet, and that particular call was in the Grizzlies Lakers game. Uh-huh. Oh no, Grizzlies Kings game.
The Tony Allen call.
And it was one of the most egregious, I guess it's maybe not incredibly egregious because it wasn't game deciding or anything, but an egregious offensive foul call where it was a weird call where no one knew what the call was.
The man loves to wave off baskets.
is there a conspiracy behind the fact that Joey Crawford is still reffing in the NBA? He drives people crazy.
I know. Well, here's a couple things what you don't know about Joey Crawford. One, he's actually a Jabberwocky. He is on So You Think You Can Dance. He's one of those masked.
Oh. you forgot that Keith and I are preternaturally old, but now I know what you're talking about. Those guys who dance with Shaq.
The Shaq dancers. He's a Jabberwocky. That's one of those.
There were crickets chirping.
Yeah.
I was thinking back to like seventh grade English.
Lewis, yeah, Carroll.
Like, Lewis Carroll. Wrote like, that's all I know. I don't.
Yeah.
This reference is deep, yo.
So he is a Jabberwocky. But yeah, there's definitely a conspiracy about Joey Crawford. Why he's so a rep.
Why?
You don't know? Do you know what his mother's maiden name is?
No.
Rockefeller Vanderbilt. Her name is Janice Rockefeller Vanderbilt Crawford? Carnegie.
Skirmahorn.
Crawford. Crawford.
Well, I'll be.
So
it all comes together.
That might. Oh, so.
I honestly thought you were going to say Fosse. Because that man loves to dance.
So I guess that does explain it.
Fred Astaire.
And I guess that'll be Chuck's turkey bacon. Conspiracy of the week.
Trying so hard not to sing right now.
Good job.
I did it.
Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook are back.
Yes.
Are the Thunder back? They lost their first game against the Pelicans.
They have a hard road to hoe. I think they have to win something like 73% of their games to get into that vaunted, yep, guaranteed playoff team. Interestingly, Westbrook struggled more when Durant came back than Durant did.
Not surprising.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think because of the nature of those two players, together they will have it figured out by the time, you know, when we learn whether or not they're going to be a playoff team or not.
They're going to be an 8 seed.
I think so.
And it is going to be so much fun to see people completely fight to not get home court advantage in the Western Conference, because that's what's going to happen.
It's going
to
be crazy.
People will be tanking games to get the hell away from the number one seed.
Oh, God, Keith, I can see it already. It's going to be Grizzlies Thunder.
It is.
Well, the Grizzlies have to play the Clippers or Thunder. That's just how the playoffs work.
Right.
Like, they don't get to play anyone else. So, yeah, it could. But I don't know. It is interesting. I think
it's going to be a very, very interesting tanking. A lot of weird tanking going on at the end of the season. Whether for picks or to not play the Thunder.
Ah, the NBA. It's fantastic.
Fantastic. You pay your money to watch people lose on purpose.
Yeah. You also pay your money to watch those horrible instant replay reviews. There was a 4-minute one in the there was an out-of-bounds call that they got correct on the floor.
Not a meaningful call.
It was a meaningful call. We're talking the last minute. I'm saying they made the call correctly.
I thought you were talking about the first half 4-minute.
No. This was the last 2-minute win in a close game. They made the call correctly on the floor. They're like, let's review it. Which I'm like, that's a good move. You see the replay once. Oh, it's clearly off this guy. 4 minutes later, they affirmed their review. They're taking the joy away. The end of games is getting rough. It's getting rough.
We needed more, you know, technocratic answers for this. We need balls with sensors and lines with sensors and all computers for out-of-bounds plays and, you know.
Look, man, I've played laser tag. I know the technology's there.
It's there, man.
If you can play laser tag, you can do anything in this world.
What if you...
We have cell phones.
What if you, each team had a certain thing put on their hands?
No, you can wear...
A paint?
No. So the ball knows.
The ball will know. The ball don't lie.
I think they should all play in those motions mocap suits
they
do for video games.
It doesn't bug me. I think I'm ready to go back.
No instant replay.
I like
instant replay for in the last 2 minutes of a game.
I like whether or not the shot went in.
Yeah.
No.
But the out of bounds is killing me.
Yeah, yeah.
Close enough. That's my stance on whether or not the shot went in.
Good enough.
That was exciting. You win for being exciting.
Good enough for government.
I kind of feel that way too. That's like, yeah. And a lot of those like toe on the line, it's like, you know.
Great effort, you win.
It's pretty good. Like, that was a good play. Although the Grizzlies won a playoff game against the Thunder last year when one of their great collapse overtime games where Serge Ibaka had a put back a second too late. And it's like, eh.
That's different, Keith.
It's different.
Oh, speaking of Serge Ibaka, we were talking about the Pelicans game. Anthony Davis ate his lunch.
Anthony Davis ate everyone's lunch. Did you guys see Kendrick Perkins trying to post him?
No, it was Kendrick Perkins post.
Did I? It was swallowed
whole.
It was just like
Serge Ibaka is the very handsome Moor,
right?
Kendrick Perkins is the Pharaoh.
He looks like
that's how you tell them apart.
Yes.
Also, Kendrick Perkins is horrible. Except he's kind of good this year. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, don't post. Kendrick is the only person who thought he could do that in the world.
Yeah.
That may be the Vine of the week.
It was one of those where like, it was one of those that you could see it coming from so far away. You'd be like, honey, come look at this. Honey, come here. Hey, Kendrick Perkins is trying to post a Anthony Davis. This will be funny.
Hold on. I'm going to dry these dishes. Okay. You got a little time. Yeah. Okay. Here it is. Alrighty.
Someone should overdub Hudson from Aliens screaming that the aliens are directly, they're in the ceiling! Don't do it! Poor Kendrick.
Yep.
Let his people go.
All right, so those were our Waffle House scattered, smothered, covered,
chopped, diced. You know, you can do a lot more to those hash browns than you would ever think. You can put jalapenos in there, chili. Poverty, anything you want at Waffle House.
All right, Waitress's now for our awards segment, it started off as a slow week for bad performances, then it just took off, and so now it's going to be hard to narrow them down. So this is our International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
Wesley Matthews got to be in there, right?
Which we give no, not even close.
What about Captain Lou, one of our favorites?
Captain Lou.
Academy Award nominee.
Captain Lou was leading through until maybe yesterday. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is our worst box score, pretty much shooting performance of the week. All right, we have several nominees. I guess I'm going to do, again, so this is a week where Captain Lou's 1-for-9 didn't make it. Danny Green's 1-for-9 didn't make it.
Wow.
We had a lot of, again, 4-16, 6-and I kind of wanted to throw in a Josh Smith where he went 6-of-18 and he was booed lustily by the home crowd when he airballed a jumper near the end of the game.
Pistons fans finally know how Hawks fans feel.
Yeah, it's true.
Because that was a tradition.
It was kind of a tough game. I read a columnist for the Pistons that was kind of taking his back like it was a bad moment to boo him because it was like an end of shot clock and he'd almost had a triple-double that game. But he was 6-for-18, and they just let it out when he took that airballed jumper. Anyway, all right, so our three nominees. Actually, we're going to have to do four. All right, one, Jeremy Lin of the Lakers, and a loss to the Wizards.
Oh, the Lakers, Jeremy Lin.
So, oh, okay.
I'm just letting people know.
Thanks. Didn't know who that was.
The California Lins.
0-for-10.
Oh, God.
No points.
What?
That is I think it's our first double digit.
Did Kobe block all his shots?
I'm pretty sure that's our first double digit attempts, no points of the year.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So Jeremy Lin. We have Tyreke Evans, who in a 3-point loss, also to the Wizards, 2-for-15, 4 points. Got some 5 boards, 4 assists.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Garrett Temple wasn't covering these guys.
Garrett Temple has been getting them DNPs.
I think Bradley Beal's back. I think that's what these stat lines are saying to us.
And then we have, in a loss to the Celtics, this was last night, Brandon Jennings.
That's going to be Jennings.
0-for-11.
Can he be exempt because of the sprained thumb?
1 point. He did have 12 assists, though, and a positive plus minus. And then,
who's the fourth?
And then
the fourth horseman, who's Wrath?
The fourth one is. I'm going to make a little exception.
I have a feeling I'm not going to like this.
This is the Charlotte Hornets.
Oh, okay.
29-for-88 and scored 75 points in a basketball game.
I vote Charlotte.
They went under 30%. No, they shot. Sorry, it's about 32%.
I vote Charlotte.
They got beat by the Hawks by 30. I don't know. I'm looking them over. We have Tyreke Evans 2-for-15. Jeremy Lin 0-for-10.
That was a
Brandon Jennings 0-for-11. I think Jeremy Lin.
I think we have to go to Jeremy Lin.
He took 10 shots and didn't score. That hasn't happened this year.
I think you're right because that Charlotte Hornets Atlanta game. That's like a Von Erich versus the Freebirds Deep South street fight. You're not going to make shots in games like that. You got to bring shivs made of soap and
You got to have tacks on a
All right,
farm implements.
So Jeremy Lin with his first International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award this year.
Two Lakers, though.
Kobe Bean won week three. So far, our winners are Lance Thomas week one, Chandler Parsons week two, Kobe Bryant week three, Ryan Anderson week four, and this week's winner, Jeremy Lin. Our lawyers will be in touch with you. And
Swaggy P, yep. Wesley Johnson, the gauntlet's been thrown.
Y'all they notice.
Can you guys
Nick Young
answer
has
the call?
Been upsettingly... I won't say efficient, but middling. Modestly okay.
Middling.
He's hitting shots.
Right.
So it's...
it's that Iggy Azalea effect.
It's that, you know.
All right, so...
Google that.
Google that.
Now for our...
The Heat are bad.
I mean...
The Heat are my second least favorite team to watch this season behind the Knicks, who run that repugnant triangle poorly.
That three-headed point guard, I mean, even that Shabazz Napier looks okay at times.
Shabazz Napier needs to have the ball in his hands more.
But then Norris Cole is... Oh.
Sleeper rookie of the year candidate, Shabazz Napier. No.
I know he's your son's
Luol
namesake.
Luol Deng had not a good week.
No. Look,
Chuck, I know Norris Cole is your son's namesake, yeah. But he looks horrible this year.
They're trying to figure it out, guys. I mean, we're talking 18 games into the season. They're 500. They didn't have their superstar for about half of those games. You got to give them time to coalesce. Josh McRoberts, I don't know if he's a thing, but...
he's a thing. Ask the Horncats.
McBob is a thing.
The Horncats are missing
obviously,
Bob Hard.
Yeah. So, you know, he just started his first game. He's really not playing that well. I think he's trying to figure out that system. And, they were right where I thought they would be at this point. I didn't think they'd be...
They're not on pace to 48 wins.
Did I say 48?
I don't remember. 46, 45.
I didn't say that. I said 50. but look, the season's early. And my big concern, though, however, is it's the blowout wins. It's not the losses. It's not the... I mean, because yesterday they lost to the Hawks, and they shot like 58% from the floor.
And the Hawks are damn good.
And they lost.
So, but it's the blowout 20-point losses to, you know, the Clippers and getting...
Every team with good big men are lighting them up.
Right. And
a problem when LeBron was there. Now it's a really bad problem.
It really is. But, you know, what you've got is a team that just is all right now. And it's sad. To me, but I just the confidence that they can win if they bring their A game doesn't exist. That they were as it did.
So you're saying you've maybe come to grips with the fact that perhaps optimism that you demonstrated earlier, maybe even in the year, you've come to grips that no, they're not good.
No, they're not. They're not going to be. No, they're just not. They're not that team. They're they took a big loss and had to take some lesser pieces to kind of just get back to. Square one, but
Granger looks sharp.
But there's really nothing you can say about that. I mean, he hasn't played much. He's really coming off of
the old biennial exception.
But yeah, he's you're not gonna. You got to see where this team is moving in the next couple years because it's really this year. No one was gonna give him anything this year anyway. So they're just trying to tread water and get to that next collective bargained contract and be able to sign a big guy.
Maybe the Heat went winless last week and the Cavs went undefeated?
I believe that's what happened. In the past, there's 0-3 for the Heat this week.
I don't think we can even do scorned Heat fan text. This has been so brutal.
We need to have some...
I think the Heat are playing scorned Heat fan texts on the basketball court.
All right. That seems fine. Then.
We're going to give you a break, Chuck.
We'll give you a break. So... I guess things to look forward to.
I got one if you want one.
Yeah, we'll save it. Okay. You've been through enough this segment.
We'll save it. I'm looking forward to...
Hi there.
John's been dying.
Yeah, John apparently...
Don't drink, guys.
He's got a cold from his poker night.
I have beer sickness.
You didn't? Did you wash your hands after you touched all those poker chips?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
All right, so I'm looking forward to... The Grizzly Spurs on Friday night.
I'm not.
Yeah, it might be bad. Marc Gasol with a MRI
deep knee bone bruise.
Talking about it.
Speaking of which, we gotta get this show over with so we can get to our Grizzlies epilogue.
Yeah, so
we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Check us out on @FastBreakBreak on Twitter. We got a reply from Jason Collins this week.
So
pretty
beautiful.
Exciting. Wished him a happy birthday, him and his brother.
Twinsies.
He wrote thank you.
So
what a gentleman.
That's a big one for us.
Follow us there. Follow us on Facebook. If you got any questions, you got any things, send them our way. We'll be glad to address them. So Grizzlies fans, stick around. We're going to talk about the first Grizzlies loss. For the rest of you guys who want to tune out, thanks for listening. For John and Chuck.
And remember, breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
You guys have a good one. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. The Grizzlies had their first discouraging loss of the year.
And a discouraging win.
In what way? How was the Kings game? Bugged you?
It did. I thought we really should have beaten them even worse with Boogie out. I was disturbed the way Reggie Evans came in and dominated, freaked me out.
Reggie Evans is the kryptonite to the Grizzlies.
He may be a bigger Grizz killer than Bledsoe at this point.
I've never understood why more Western Conference playoff rivals of the Grizzlies didn't sign, because Reggie Evans can be had by anyone who wants him.
Yeah, you could trade anything.
Like, he is always an unsigned player at the end that people just bring in. And the fact that he guards Zebo and Mark so well, I always thought that just teams should get him. When the Clippers let him go after the Clippers beat the Grizzlies in that 7-game series, I was so surprised, because he's such a tough guy that gives him fits. And then, yeah, to see him come back on this Kings team.
Mark ended up having a good line, but it came late.
Yeah.
He was stuck on 6 points for some time.
And it's one of those things where it was hilarious that when Ryan Hollins gets ejected, I think most Grizzlies fans were like, no! like we want Ryan Hollins to play. He's terrible. And then Reggie Evans comes in and gets 20 boards.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. But
Ryan Hollins in 17 minutes put up the vaunted 0-for-0. 0-for-0, 0-for-1 in field goals made, 3-pointers made.
I mean, that's almost, it isn't the exact Stackhouse of Pancakes award, but it's in the spirit. To play 17 minutes and do nothing?
How do you get one free throw when you didn't take any shots?
That's
it's a mystery.
That is a mystery. Was it a...
It had to be some sort of tech thing, but I don't remember it.
Oh, it was maybe someone flagrant fouled? Nah.
I just don't know. He got one shot.
It's escaping our brains. But in that game, so in the Kings game, you knew it was the quote-unquote revenge game from the turndown appeal. But the Grizzlies started off really strong. They got up pretty big. And then you know they're going to make a run. You know it's going to be tough. And the Grizzlies showed a little lack of effort. The bench was not good. Vince Carter was awful that game. So you didn't get a whole lot. So it's a fine. They got through it. They win the game. It's a road win. You're happy. So then they actually come home. They fly home to rest a couple. And I think that's when all media really got on the Grizzlies, because at that point they had the best record in the league and they were on a 3-0 road trip. So then they go to Houston, who's missing some players. And yeah, they got...
This game will forever be known as the Memphis college players come home to roost game.
The Tariq Black and Joey Dorsey just exacting revenge by outworking all the Grizzlies.
It was frankly embarrassing.
It was. And it was also one of those games where maybe a Men in Blazers soccer reference, that you score too early. Like the Grizzlies came out and hit, I think they hit the first 8 shots. And then after that, the Houston just pounded them, just spanked them. They beat them up and down the court. The Grizzlies weren't, it was like the Mark Ivoroni days where the Grizzlies couldn't get back and just gave up like layup after layup.
We might need to bring Hubie Brown in to whip this team into shape.
We need to get them, yeah. It was discouraging. So my thing, you know, sometimes, again, it's just one game. You're never as bad as you think you are, never as good as you think you are, is the, that's Lionel Hollins always go to. But
so long as Mark the Shark doesn't miss too many games, I don't think they're going to take too many steps back.
Right.
But and it's not like a panic mode game, but this is a Houston team that we usually wreck when they have their stars.
Yeah.
Because Tony Allen can guard James Harden.
Yep.
And then their bigs usually can't outwork us. This was just a bizarre.
The fact that the Grizzlies couldn't get Zebo and Mark Gasol going when they were being guarded by old Demo Monteunis.
Yes.
Donuts Monteunis.
And who wrecked us?
Yeah, who had a great game, and then Tariq Black. The fact that we couldn't get Mark going on him, it was a game where in the first half, Mike was struggling. The team looked a little tight. The bench gave us zero. I mean, Vince Carter hit his first couple.
This was one of the worst coupon games. Bad.
Coupon was
which is saying something.
Coupon, who led the team in minutes, scored a layup in the last minute. Before then, 0 points on 27 minutes. I mean, just atrocious. It is funny when Quincy had a few good games in a row, I start thinking like, man, have I been wrong on Coupon for 3 years? And then it's like, no, he just had a couple good games. This is Quincy.
I know the Grizz aren't a 3-point shooting team and are near the bottom of the league every year, but you're not going to win any games going 2 for 13 from that area. You just can't.
The 3-point isn't the problem, honestly. It is the rebounds. They got out rebounded by 13.
I usually hate rebound margin as a stat, but
right.
In this game, it worked because it was an issue of effort.
Right. And a lot of times rebound margin is misleading, but when you're watching the game and you're like, we're getting creamed on the glass. Like they're getting every, and this has happened in other games this year where, and especially it's the second unit. John Lure's defensive rebounding rate is fine. It's on par with what other players is. It just feels like when he's in the game, other guys are just rebounding over him and beating him down the court. And I mean,
John Lure beating all
the Grizzlies down the court.
John Lure is terrible and played 26 minutes.
I mean, a lot of that is those subs ran the last 12 minutes, the right. whole fourth quarter.
Oh yeah, I mean, Jarnell Stokes got 12 minutes.
I tweeted out watching that game after the third quarter. I was like, I don't want any of our starters to play in the fourth quarter. I also don't want to watch Quincy or John play anymore.
What does Jarnell Stokes have to do to get played over John Lure?
I think he has to maybe beat him up in practice.
Something has to happen because Jarnell went 5 for 7, 12 points in 12 minutes.
It is.
I know that's garbage time, but John Lure doesn't do anything like that in garbage time.
It is garbage time, but when you watch in the two times Stokes has come in and played, he's done nothing to dissuade Grizzlies fans from being like, why don't we get more of that? Like, that guy moves people. That guy gets people out of the way and gets rebounds. He is a little floor bound, but literally, I mean, Lure has had over the last, his shooting percentage is up to close to 50%. Over the last something like 10 games, I think he's shooting 58%. So what I'm telling you is, this is best case scenario John Lure is what right. we've seen.
Yes.
And it's underwhelming.
If you just look at his stats, you wouldn't even realize what you're looking at.
I said
although the advanced stats bear out on him.
I said last week he's an average player, and I meant he's an average bench player.
Yes.
Like, and so it's like, I really, one of the sad things about Vince Carter being so struggly on the year is when you have these backups in the NBA, you want someone who you look forward to coming into the game. Like, you want to have a great thing. You're like, oh, now we're going to sick whoever on it. Like,
Vince is that player where you get to where you're supposed to be able to say things like, we have sick starters.
Yeah. We got another guy coming in. And so he's been off. And then again, after Jaeger was playing not all the backups at the same time, this whole road trip, these last four games, he has played all five bench guys, which again, I think you have to do.
Right.
Like, you have to get those guys going. But they, again, were badly, badly outplayed. And then when the starters didn't have it, to not have a spark off the bench, it's tough. So I don't know. It's something I think it's going to have to be addressed. Like, this Grizzlies team as is very good and can probably hang or beat anybody in a 7-game series still. Like, we still feel good about the chemistry. But if you're going to go for it, and this is a year, if you think there's a chance the Thunder can't even make the playoffs, there's a chance that the Cavs don't get, you know, don't get it going.
Don't get a rim protector.
Right. This is a year where it's available. Vegas is out there saying like, hey, there's no big favorite.
Yeah,
like,
and remember,
the Spurs, but no one else.
I still have my standing offer of $20 for your $40 Grizzlies win it all.
I've already spent my $1,600 40-1 bet on Grizzlies to win the title. But
hope you spend it on Grizzlies tickets.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I'm working I got to have my doctor look over Mark's MRI results before I buy my season tickets.
Heard that.
But
Let's say Mark comes back next week. Should be fun and competitive. Mark doesn't come back, it could get ugly. We've got Spurs, the Heat, and then the Mavs. Pretty fun slate.
And then the I feel like the Warriors are right after that.
That's next week. That's the
16th. Yeah, but I'm just saying. I mean, it's
luckily before we get the Warriors, we get the Bob Nets and the 76ers. So should get some rest.
We shouldn't get, but hopefully again, we're not seeing. Last night they went to Calathes to try to see if he could be a spark when they were losing at in the first half. They put him in, and it's funny. I mean, Bano played fine, but it is the benches. I think they're still searching a little bit, trying to find the exact right combination, and it's a struggle. I mean, and especially this has been the concern going into the year is we have a great front line, but we have a very thin front line. Yes. Like the fact that the only thing behind Mark and Zach is, you know, an effective backup in Costa and then the unproven lure Stokes. It makes you nervous.
Stokes is going to be what I campaign for the rest of the year.
You just want to see him freed?
That's what I want.
He's going to be...
It's the free Ed Davis hashtag. Just change the name.
I haven't seen enough to jump on board, and I don't want to hear anything about his Tennessee Vol exploits.
I didn't say anything.
I know.
I didn't say a word.
But yeah, I like my bigs. I mean, people are respecting Lure a bit. Like, he is spacing the floor. But when your best case scenario is like a Band-Aid, his best case scenario is like, oh, we can survive while he's in.
Right.
It just bugs me. That is not an elite team. An elite team has backups that come in. You're like, oh, yeah, we took out Courtney Lee and Tony Allen and whoever. Like, now you got to deal with these guys who are going to, you know, run you ragged.
Aaron Baines and Patty Mills.
And literally, when they're playing the Rockets, those backups, man, these are guys who are pretty much, a lot of them D-leaguers the last couple of years. Like,
right.
Or Francisco Garcia. It's like, oh, man, like they're whipping us.
Costas Papanikolaou made us look like fools.
Papanikolaou abused people last night. Like,
he looks pretty damn good, though.
The only player who looked bad on the Rockets was the hilarious Clint Capella.
Clint Capella.
Switzerland's own.
Over six, I believe.
And he had three.
Hot prospect.
He had three missed layups in a 5-second span. He looked out of his element. He looked...
I think
you need to put him back in the oven. He's not ready yet.
I think Clint Capella is a good note to go out on.
That is good. All right, so that's our Grizzlies epilogue. Thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We can't wait to hear from you. You guys have a good rest of your day.
Arrive safely.